And today we're looking for fathers who have just that. Integrity. Character. More than just financial means. More than the acquisition of material goods. But a father that we can model our lives after. And Joseph was such a man. You see, it's interesting that the other brothers of Joseph, those that sold him off into slavery, they did not have a connection to their father the way Joseph did. And even Benjamin. We know that Rachel had given birth to both Joseph and Benjamin and the other women of her own concubine. So they really weren't out of her being. And I want to just say to moms that are here today, sometimes you have to be the father and you have to be the mother. And so we salute you today for investing in your young men and young girls the ability to leave behind integrity and leave behind character, because that's exactly what Rachel did. I want to sit in a future Father's Day Sunday morning sermon, and I want to ask this question: what memories will my children have after I'm gone? Or what memories will my children have as the pastor or as the soloist began to talk about fathers and sing about fathers? What memories will be evoked in my life as a result of what my dad invested in me? As a result of what kind of life that my father led? Will it be a painful memory? Will it be a memory that's void of relationship? Will it cause an illicit anger in my life as I ponder and think about what could have been and what should have been? Guys, today we've got to take inventory. We need to ask those questions. We need to begin to go before the Lord and say, Father, I want my children to remember me as a man of character, a man of integrity, a man that was able to tell the truth and live the truth, who was sensitive and gentle and was one that was kind toward them. I want them, when they ponder the thought of their father on earth, to mirror and to be that image of whom they begin to feel and see and sense what their heavenly father is. I want to be able to display to them that God is good all the time. And that all the time God is good. And just like my earthly father, so is my heavenly father. Are those the kind of memories that you want to implant in the lives of your children? You say, well, Pastor, I've not left those kinds of memories up to this point. You see, I've been those that maybe, like those who have slipped up. I've done some things that I'm not proud of. I want you to know, just like you can go to the cross and you can find forgiveness and you can have all your mistakes and your sins wiped away. I want you to know something about children. They're very resilient. They're very forgiving. They are ready and willing, and they are so anxious to be able to see you turn your life around. And so, Dad, today, if you're not proud of your conduct, if you're not one that can display your character with honor and integrity, it's all right, because today is a day that you can experience a new beginning, a new start. And from this day, implant memories that will wipe away every negative memory that you ever caused to be in the minds of your children. And they will remember you as a father who loved them with an undying love. I want you to know today, the blessings that you leave behind are going to be evident. And we need to begin to ponder about that. You know, as I think of my own father, who now has been past about 24 years, that's a long time. One of the last memories I have of him is when my son turned 12 months old, 1 year. He brought to him a little three-wheel scooter, a little plastic, I think they used to call him Big Wheel or something like that. He brought him a Big Wheel, and he was so happy to bring my son and his namesake as well, because my father's name is Lewis, and my name being Lewis, and my son's Lewis, and his father's being Lewis, it meant so much to him. And I remember him bringing that with a big smile on his face and couldn't hardly wait till we put it together so little Louie can get on it and ride down the driveway. And You know, I remember those times of investment, and I want to choose to remember the good and not the bad, and not remember the evil or not remember what he didn't do, but learn how to celebrate what he did do. You see, I believe that we as fathers are going to do three things. And number one, we're going to leave behind the priority of servanthood. Number two, we're going to leave behind a respect for authority. And number three, we're going to leave behind a forgiving spirit of Christ in our lives. These three things, among many others, are so important in order that we might preserve a generation. Whether it's Kyle or whether it's Kayla, those that stood before us this morning giving testimony of what God had done for them, whether it be a youth conference or whether it be a children's camp, there they had an encounter with God. But you see, those encounters come and go and they are minimal. Those moments with God and with the anointing of the Holy Ghost are once a year at a conference, are once a year at a children's camp. But boy, when they go back home every day, morning, noon and night, day after day and week after week, they can encounter a father who can impart to them these three basic qualities. You may want to write them down: servanthood, respect for authority, and a forgiving spirit operating in one's life. Let's go to Genesis chapter 49 and look at verse 22, please. This is Jacob writing of his own son. He says this: Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. You see, Jacob already identified his son as one who was blessed, as one whose life had become fruitful, as one who not only was fruitful and blessed for himself, but he understood something about Joseph. Joseph had a concern for other people. I want you to write that down. You see, part of servanthood mentality is to recognize that your life must grow over and beyond the wall. It must go beyond and be over where your life is entailed. A person who's a true servant understands that I may be planted here, but I'm not restricted to just me and those that are under my shade, if you will, but rather I must spread out beyond the boundaries and be able to be impacting on those that are around me and in my life. You see, verse 23, Jacob begins to understand again about Joseph. He says this: the archers have bitterly grieved him and shot at him and hated him. No doubt, Jacob was referring to his brothers who had sold him into slavery, who were jealous of him, who hated him, who wanted to kill him. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, began to identify character traits within him that even though he was being despised, even though he was being falsely accused, even though he was sold off as a slave, his own brothers turned their back on him. He was one that endured every one of those accusations. I want you to know today that in this world you're going to be falsely accused. There are going to be people that are going to hurt you and walk away from you. There are going to be people that are going to mistreat you and talk bad about you. But guys, listen to me. As a true father, it's not just our response that is important for our own life, but our response and how we react to those who are oppressing us, who are abusing us, who are mistreating us is also a telltale sign of whether or not we believe that God is who He is. And our children are watching. Our fathers and mothers are watching. Our congregation is watching. Our community is watching. You see, we are what the Bible calls an open book. And people are reading our lives every day. We have a responsibility this morning to understand that even though we're mistreated, that does not qualify or disqualify our acts of service one to another. For when we find someone in need, it is our duty to be a blessing and not to curse. It is a true sign of one's humility, a true sign of a true servant of God, that while you're being spat upon and your beard plucked out of your very face, while you're being falsely accused and whipped with a cat of nine tails, to cry out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's this kind of an example and a model that today our young people are yearning for. It's this kind of an example of a father who, even though he's been mistreated on the job, doesn't come home and badmouth his employer. Even though he doesn't agree with something at church, doesn't have preacher for lunch on the way home from church. Even though that he and his wife, their mother, can't see eye to eye, yet he's forgiving and loving, and he is tender-hearted with her and kind toward her. These are the attributes of true servanthood. And what's missing in a generation today? See, Jacob recognized the inner strength of Joseph. And he also recognized that it was Joseph's desire to pass this along to his children. What are you passing along to your children? You say, well, I never really thought about it. They're all grown. They're on their own. They're living on their own. They're married. They have their own children. Maybe you have grandchildren. What are you passing along? What are they reading on a daily basis from your life? Look at verse 25 of the same chapter, Genesis 49. The Bible says this, by the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above and blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. Jacob began to tell Joseph, you are going to be a blessed man. You are going to be a blessed man. And you see, Joseph taught servanthood even though he was abundantly blessed, even though he had rightful positions of authority. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Joseph had reached a pinnacle of authority that was second to only Pharaoh in all the world. And yet he remained as a servant. Yet he remained as one who was there for the purpose of others and not himself. Sometimes we as men get caught up in all the power, don't we? Sometimes as men we feel like we have to wear our foreman's hat at work and we can put it on and leave it on when we get home and tell our children what to do because we are the authority. But it was unlike that with Joseph. Joseph was one that understood the heart of a young man and the heart of a young woman to realize that even though I have authority like Jesus, who could have called 10,000 angels down at Calvary's Hill and yet refused to do that and to take matters in his own hands, could have destroyed Pilate, could have destroyed all of his accusers, and yet without a word was able to trust his heavenly Father who he knew judged righteously. You and I are teaching something. You and I are teaching something. What is it that we will leave behind? Secondly, we're going to leave behind respect for authority. Today, we are missing that in this hour, aren't we? People today are ready to call a cop a criminal. People today are ready to shoot an authority. People today are ready to beat up a teacher in a hallway. People today are ready to just talk about a position of whether or not it's in the church or outside the church, a lack of respect for those who hold public office because we feel as though that they all have disqualified our respect based on their conduct. But a true person of character does not qualify the respect that they give to someone else by the behavior of that authority. Like David, David was one that submitted to Saul even though Saul was corrupted. Even though Saul was ready to take his life, even though Saul had organized an army to pursue him, even to the very caves of the Negev, and to search him out like a rat, like a mouse, and falsely accuse him. And David said, I will not touch the anointed of God. Because he understood something about authority. He understood something about whatsoever a man sows, he's also going to reap. Fathers, this is the hour that you and I must invest in our kids a respect for authority. But how can we invest in them a respect for authority if we have lost our respect for the authorities in our life based on the disqualifying of their life based on their conduct? Genesis 50, and look at verse number 4. Now, when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, if now I found favor in your eyes, please speak in the hearing of Pharaoh, saying, my father has made me swear, saying, behold, I am dying, and in my grave, which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan, there you shall bury me. Now therefore, please let me go up and bury my father, and I will come back. Pharaoh said, go up and bury your father, as he made you swear. And so Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh and the elders of his house and all the elders of the land of Egypt. I don't want you to miss that last scripture, because you see, Joseph was a man who submitted himself to authority. He was second in command of all of Egypt. He didn't have to go to Pharaoh and say, "I'd like to go bury my father." He had been given the authority to come and go as he pleases. He had been given the authority and the power invested in him to raise up and to tear down, to call one and to send another. He didn't have to go to Pharaoh, but he demonstrated to little Ephraim and little Manasseh, his children, while they were growing up in his own household, that he said, "I understand, because I have authority, I am submitted to authority." And he went to the Pharaoh and he said, "Would you please, sir, would you please, I don't want to take for granted that I deserve this, that I'm owed this. I come to you humbly, and I ask permission that I can take my father back to the land of Canaan and there bury him." And their Pharaoh said, "Go." But watch this. Because he was such a man that respected authority, the Bible says all the servants of Pharaoh's house went with him. Not only that, but the elders that were in Pharaoh's house. Not only that, but all the elders of Egypt went with Joseph back to Canaan to bury his father. Do you know that is a break in Egyptian tradition? Did you know that no other time in recorded history did any of the leadership of Egypt pay homage to any other international figure and leave their homeland to honor a burial of a man they did not even know? It wasn't because of Jacob. It was because of Joseph. Because Joseph learned how to respect authority. He was able to take that which had never happened and bring it into somebody else's life that needed it to happen. When you walk in respect for other people, God opens up resources. God opens up opportunity. When you humble yourself and not walk around proud like a chip on your shoulder, expecting everybody that they owe you something, that you have something coming. I mean, after all, I've done all this. You owe me. No, no, no. The attitude of humility. The attitude that says, "Sir, if you be willing to allow me to go." You see, when you walk with great respect for authority, you'll open up resources for other people. And Jacob was honored like no other man on the face of the earth, because in the entirety of leadership, the greatest nation on the planet had come to his funeral. What are you investing in your kids? Are you investing a servanthood attitude? Are you investing respect for those that are in authority? Today it's unfortunate. Today it's unfortunate. I've had many, many seasons in my life where your children, perhaps not your children because those children and their parents are no longer here, but at times children in this ministry would come up to me and call me by my first name, not even a mister in front of it, not a reverend, not a pastor, but just, "Hey, Louie." Not only that, but indictment is brought to me by children in the church where they came to me and said, "I understand that you are very wealthy and that you are taking money from the offering." I've had children say to me disrespectfully about my own conduct. I've had children question whether or not I have too many clothes and how much money I spend for clothes. I've had people and their children rather say to me things that I wouldn't even want to repeat to you. But I know the source is not from their little heart. I know the source comes from a father, comes from a mother who has invested in their children these kinds of inquisitions, these kinds of a disrespect for authority. And not only am I offended or hurt, not only does that bring discouragement, forget that, throw that all aside, because here's what I really am concerned about, that that family at one day is going to need authority to be released into their life. That family is going to need a resource that goes beyond their life and beyond their ability to call in to their own being. And it comes when they have a respect for authority that God, like for Joseph, took the elders of the greatest nation on the earth
and dispatched them into Joseph's life in a time of great need, when his father Jacob had come to Joseph and said, "When I die, take me out of here and put me in a grave back in Canaan." Joseph said, "There's one thing that's on my mind. It's not to have a funeral for Dad. It's not to have all the Egyptians come. It's not here to be able to be comfortable or convenient, but I've got to fulfill my father's desire." I want to ask you guys, what's your desires? What is it that you're really hungering for? Those are the things that your children will begin to focus upon. Are all you concerned about is money? Are all you concerned about is self-indulgence or pleasure? Is all you're concerned about is what other people think of you? Or have you become a servant of God? Have you become one that disrespects people, that doesn't have regard for authority in your life? Be it the mailman who has authority to deliver your mail, and how you treat that person is being recorded in heaven. Not only that, but your children are witnessing that. How do we regard and how do we relate to people on this earth? You see, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be men who leave behind respect for authority. You see, your children are going to follow your lead. Yes, they will. The lack of respect for authority will lead to destruction. And today we've seen it time and time again. We're there incarcerated across our great prisons and jailhouses, multi-millions of young people who had no father. And if they did have a father, had made no investments and taught them disrespect. As an early age, when a child is disrespected, they learn how to disrespect others. And Father, it is our primary responsibility. And when a child gets this spirit of disrespect within them, it will lead to their utter destruction. Their utter destruction. And our jails are filled with young men. Young men whose fathers had abandoned them. Whether it be a physical abandonment or whether it be an emotional abandonment, whether it be a spiritual abandonment, it matters not. But this three-legged stool, this three powerful principles that I'm sharing with you this morning, will hold up a life in the time of turmoil, will guard and guide a life in the time of great trial and stress. And that is the legacy of servanthood, the legacy of respect for authority, and then finally, leaving the legacy of a forgiving spirit of Jesus Christ. Go with me back to Genesis chapter 50 and look at verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us, may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." And so they sent messengers to Joseph saying, "Before your father died, he commanded saying, 'Thus shall you say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for that they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him." I want to stop there for a moment, and I want to point out something that's very critical. Jacob left a request beyond his grave. Joseph left a statement that he knew. Jacob left a statement that he knew. Now get this. Don't let your mind drift. He knew that if Joseph heard it, if Joseph heard this statement, even though he was in the grave, it would draw something out of Joseph that would not be manifest unless he first heard his father request it of him. In other words, Jacob knew what was in his son. And because he knew what was in him, all he had to do was ask and draw it out of him, and he knew it would be manifest. In other words, Jacob knew there was forgiveness in Joseph. And because there was forgiveness in Joseph, he told his sons,
You need to go before Joseph and ask or draw out of him what I and God has put in him. Now, I don't have time to dialogue with you about this particular message in regards to Jacob and Joseph's relationship. But let me just say this. He was given a coat of many colors, and it came from Jacob. Let me say this. I believe Jacob and Joseph had spent many an hour together talking and dialoguing. I believe Joseph was as a result of Jacob's changed character. Can I encourage some fathers in here today? Jacob was known, first of all, as a deceiver. He was one that was a manipulator. But God got a hold of him. One Palestinian night, God got a hold of him. And there he wrestled with God till morning. And God said, no longer shall you be called a deceiver. No longer shall you be a manipulator. But I'm changing your name. And name is indicative of character. How many men in here can say you've had a changed character because of Jesus Christ? Come on. And God said, I'm going to make you the prince of Israel. And I believe Jacob was able to share with Joseph when they walked together. And as he grew up in his household and he talked to him in reality. Guys, don't fake it. Let them know there were times in your life where you screwed up. Let them know in times of your life when you didn't make the right choices. Don't project to them that you were perfect. Don't project to them that you never made a mistake. You see, that's why it's important to me as a pastor. And many times I've been told, you're too transparent. You ought not to tell people all your mess. But I figure this way. Listen, there was a day when I didn't live right. When I didn't love everybody and I didn't pray real hard. But God got a hold of my life. And He's transformed me and He's changed me. And if God will do it for me, He will do it for you. Come on, somebody, give God praise. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. And so Jacob told Joseph, there were times when I had to understand how much pain I caused in the life of Esau. There was times when I walked before God in shame over my decisions and my choices. But son, I don't want you to live like that. I want you to find a rock. I want you to find a Bethel. I want you to find a place where God will appear to you in the middle of the night. And when He wrestles with you, don't back down and hold on until God blesses you, son. Now take this coat of many colors as a sign of covenant. Oh my God, I wish I could preach on that coat. But as a sign of covenant, I want you to walk under its authority and walk under its influence. Jacob knew what was in Joseph because he put it in there. And I pray someday my sons and my daughters, there will come a time I know it's in there because I put it in there. I put it in by modeling it, by talking about it, by demonstrating it. I put it in there so when the times get tough, when the consequences become dire, when situations are insurmountable and it's difficult to make it through a day, something inside of them that was deposited by a father who isn't perfect, a father that once was a Jacob, but God turned into an Israel, God will bring out of them what was deposited in them. Come on, fathers, you can do it. Come on, fathers, you can be it. I don't care if you grew up as an alcoholic, a drunk, an addict, drug addict, a sexual immoral person. It doesn't matter. You might have been an outburst of anger person. You may have been indifferent and selfish. You may have been abusive to your children and to your spouse. But listen to me. There is a Bethel. There is a place of encounter with God. And your life can be changed today. And that can be a distant memory. And when the rubber meets the road and your children need God the most, when you invest in them, Jacob said, you go to that Joseph and you ask of him for forgiveness. Because I know inside, when I talk to him with tears running down my face about going to my brother Esau and asking for forgiveness, and I went to the Father in heaven and I asked for forgiveness, I could only ask God for forgiveness because I knew it was in him. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to God today. You can ask for forgiveness because it's in God. You can go to God and ask for provision because it's in God. You can go to God and ask for a future and a hope because it's in God. And it must be in us. And it must be in our children. Verse 20. I want to share this last verse with you. It says this, "But as for you, you meant evil against me," Joseph speaking, "but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many alive. Now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And I like this part the best. "And he comforted them and he spoke kindly to them." He said, "God, if I make no other attainment in my life, if I never reach another earthly goal, God, if I never aspire to another conquest, may I be known as a man who will bring comfort to those who are comfortless. And may I be a person who will speak kindly to those who do not deserve it. God, may I be a man that can be transformed from selfishness into the mentality of a servanthood, into the mentality of someone who teaches respect for authority, and a man who understands the power of forgiveness." Dads, if you're not there yet, you'll get there. It'll be a crossroads. It'll be a bridge. It'll be a highway you'll have to travel. For your children one day will have to come with shame on their face. Someday they'll have to come with a disappointed look, a broken heart, and they'll have to disclose to you the error of their ways. Will they come cowering? Will they come fearful? Will they come with that understanding that now punishment and even banishment may occur? Or will they come knowing that even though they had erred, their father will comfort them and their father will speak kindly to them? I appreciated the story that Minister Troy shared with us so appropriately today. The young girl in trouble, the young girl in trial, the young girl, be it a car on fire, be it now 3 months into a pregnancy, unknown by anyone, having now to disclose it to Dad. "Dad, the car's on fire. Dad, I don't understand. I don't know why. You taught me better, but I'm pregnant. Can you ever forgive me?" The response on the other side of some may expect, "What did you do to the car? Why didn't you do what I told you to do? Were you driving too fast?" The indictments begin to come one after another. "What are you, a little whore? What's the matter with you? Didn't you teach you better? Don't you understand what you've done to us and to this family?" Or will it be kind words and comforting words that come forth from a father who mirrors the heavenly father, that when the father in heaven sees a broken and contrite spirit, when the father in heaven, come on somebody, when the father in heaven sees a truly repentant heart, doesn't punish, doesn't banish, doesn't further cause injury or harm, but goes to that child and embraces them and say, "I don't know what we're going to do, but I know this, we're going to do it together. I don't know how this thing is going to come to pass, but I know this, we're going to work it together. And I'll always be your father, and you'll always be my son, and you'll always be my daughter. And who knows that this thing was meant for evil, but God meant it for good. So let's look for the good and not the evil." What a powerful display of true fatherhood. Because fatherhood, when forgiveness is displayed, opens the floodgates of imprisoned emotions. Some of us, as we sit here, your sons and your daughters have been imprisoned by their emotions. They've been imprisoned by your failure as a father, my failure as a father, our lack of forgiveness, our lack of repentance, our lack of making things right, are not fulfilling our role. It's an imprisonment of their own emotions. Some of us, our fathers have already passed. We can't go back. We can't correct it. Some of us today, even though we try to share our hearts with our earthly dads, they don't get it. They still don't understand. And we yearn so much to be set free from this emotional prison. We yearn so much to open up the doors and please let me out. I'm so tired of being confined by this pain. But I want to share with you today that even though your father may not be able to do that, I want to introduce to you today a father that will. I want to introduce to you today a God that understands, and a God that will be comforting to you, and a God that will speak kindly to you, and a God that's proud of you. He's not a father that's embarrassed by your conduct. He's not a father who is indifferent and self-filled. He's not a father who is off distant into his own world. He sees you. Melody, just as you sang it, his eye is on the sparrow. My God, he has to be watching over me. He's got to be reveling over me. He's got to be dancing over me. He's got to be happy and excited about my accomplishments in life. And I want you to know him today like that. I want you to know God like that. I want you to know your Father in heaven like that. You say, well, Pastor, what do I do about my dad, who's not all I need him to be? Then you need to be his dad. Little girls, that's when you can be a father. Little boys, that's when you can grow up. And you understand that even though he's not able to be a father, I'll be a father to him. And I'll treat him kindly, and I'll speak softly to him. I'll be forgiving to him. I'll embrace him. I'll invest in him what Jacob invested in Joseph. Joseph invested now back in Jacob. It's the reverse role in this generation. You can stop the bleeding. You can call on the covenant. You can allow the blood of Jesus to change your future and alter your present, as we together would humble ourselves before God. And I pray this morning that those that today who have allowed tears to fall from your eyes, it's not been my goal to elicit the painful and hurtful emotions, because I understand this world is tough, and sometimes fathers are indifferent and lost, and they're so far away from us. And even though we may see them from time to time, it still is a painful thing. A message like this in a day like this is not easy to address, and it's almost been my desire to skip it and avoid it altogether, until the Holy Ghost gripped my heart this morning and said, no, you've got to stand up to it. You've got to face it. You've got to talk about it yourself. And so today, guys, don't be resentful to your fathers. Don't be unforgiving. Release them. And when you release them in forgiveness, you will open the imprisonment of your own emotion. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask this question. You're here today, and as a father, as a daughter, your emotions have today come to the surface, realizing the sorrow and the pain and some of the misunderstandings, some of the occurrences and experiences, and you wonder why. Today, God is speaking to you by the Holy Spirit, and he's saying these words: what the devil meant for evil, God will turn to good. God meant it for good. You say, I don't understand. How could he mean it for good? You see, Joseph was sold as a slave. Joseph was thrown into a pit. Joseph was falsely accused, and in prison he went. And Joseph was a man that believed his God in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. I want you to know today, your attitude, your direction, your legacy can save many. Because there will come a day, save the coming of the Lord, when your children will grow and they'll have their own children. And their children will grow and they'll have their own children. And somewhere along the line, they may not even know you, may not have many pictures of you, may not hear many stories about who you were, but something will be passed on because you stopped the curse. You released forgiveness, and the blessings of God fell into a generation like dominoes began to have its effect for many, many generations to come. You're here today and you say, Pastor, I have a heavy heart. I want to forgive him and I want to release him. Right now, I just want you to lift your hands before the Lord. Begin to worship. That's right. Just worship. Just worship. Say, Lord, I release him. Lord, I forgive him. Lord, I let it go. Lord, I'm going to be one that will walk away. Free me now, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, once again, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Pastor, I'd like to be that kind of a man or that kind of a person, that kind of a woman. But you see, I really don't know how. I'm not even born again. I don't even know Jesus as my personal Lord and as my Savior. Pray for me today. If you were to die today, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you'd go to heaven? Do you even know that? Where is eternity lie for you? What's your future? Do you have a fear of death? Do you wonder what's going to happen on the other side? Today you can know. The Bible says these things were written that you may know that you can have eternal life. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I'd like to give my life to Jesus this morning. I want to do that, but I need to know who you are. To count of three, would you lift your hand up? 1, 2, 3. If that's you, you say, I need that prayer. Thank you, ma'am, back there. Thank you over here. God bless you. Thank you, sir, over there. Anybody else, wave it high. Thank you in the back. Anybody else, thank you over there. If you haven't raised it, do it now. Quickly, would you do it for me? Anybody else, say, I need that prayer, Pastor. Thank you back there, sir. I saw that head as well. One final time, one final request. If that's you, lift your hand up high enough that I can see it if you haven't already done it. All right, God bless you. Here's what I want you to do. As we stand, I'm going to ask our altar ministers to come. Those of you that raise your hand, I want you to come. And I know, church, listen to me. As Christians, if you've been a part of this ministry for any length of time, you've heard me give this altar call probably 1,000 times. You've heard me make the similar statements probably 1,000 times. But don't let it become familiar to you. Begin to embrace it and pray. Pray for those young people. Pray for those moms and dads who need Christ. Would you pray right now silently where you are? When I ask you to stand, I want you to come. We want to pray for you. Are you ready? Let's everybody stand. Come on, lift up your hands in worship. Lift up your hands in worship. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Raise your hand. Come on. Come on, let us pray. Come on, let us pray. God bless you. Let us pray.
I totally surrender to you.
Come on, worship Jesus. I want you to turn to somebody around you and with compassion and kindness say, listen, did you raise your hand? You need that prayer? I'll go with you. Then take them by the hand and say, come on, let's go together. God's a good God. God's a good Father. I'd like for you today to be prayed for. Come on, turn to somebody right now and ask them, would you? Come on. Turn to somebody and ask them, would you? Yeah, that's right. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Come on, teenager. Come on, child. Come on, mom. Come on, grandma. Come on, everybody that raised your hand, I want you to come. Do it now, please. I worship you, Father, exalting your name. Your name. Captured my heart, now my life is changed. I lift up my head.
Oh, I lift up my head.
Lift up my head. Now this morning, everybody, just for a moment, Holy Spirit, we welcome you right now for the healing of our hearts. For the restoration of our memories. For the decisions that we're making as men today to be a true father. Right now, in this room, you need healing in your physical body. We want to pray with you. Restoration in your own emotions and memories. We want to pray with you. Today you need a breakthrough and a miracle, maybe financially.
appreciated what Melody said yesterday at the open house. She said, since I was 17 years old, I've been investing in my singing career. And God's been faithful for those years, and she's got a breakthrough. Maybe you need a breakthrough. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't you grow weary in well-doing. You believe God will pray with you. But whatever your need is, I want you to come right now. I want you to come for whatever that need is right now. Come on. You're the omnipotent Father. You're the one of mercy and you're the one of grace. Come on, come on, come on. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is the time when the Holy Spirit is moving in your life right now. I want to share with you this morning a burden of every father. Now, would you hear me? I'm not ready to close, but would you hear me? A burden of every father. I said it's a burden of every father that their children would serve the Lord with all their heart, soul, might, and strength. Love their neighbor as themselves. That's the burden of every father. And today, fathers, I want to encourage you. Don't you give up on your kids. Come on, you invest in them the way your heavenly Father did. They'll be changed. But today, you need to recommit your life to Christ. You need to rededicate your life to Christ. Not to church. Not to religion. But I'm talking about a personal relationship with the living God. Then I want you to do that today. This altar is open for you. Join the others that have already come. Come on, right now, from the very back row to the front row. This may be the very most important decision that you'll make the rest of your life, because it'll change your future. But this is your time. This is your opportunity. Please don't let your heart grow hard. Please don't let this world deceive you and blind you. I want you to come today to a Father in heaven who loves you with all of his heart, and let God change your life. He's omnipotent. He's omnipotent. He is the God that is there with you right this very moment. And don't let this moment pass. Come on, everybody, lift your hands up. Come on. Come on, worship, worship, worship. Come on. Come on, worship, worship. Come on, worship. Oh, lift up your voice and give him praise. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit,
thou art welcome. Jesus, do a work in this life, God. Do a work in these lives. Change these lives, Jesus. Do it now, Father, for your glory and for your sake, Jesus. Jesus, do it right now, Lord. Do it right now, Lord. Now, while these are praying, can you hold on a minute, cross the aisle, and take somebody by the hand? Everybody, get connected right now. Come on, this is a spiritual thing. Get connected. If you can't reach across, that's all right. But I want you to get connected. I want you to begin praying as a one voice and one mind. I want you to begin praying for restoration in families. I want you to begin praying right now. Children will come home. Dads will come home. Moms will change their thinking. Come on, right now, unite the family around the cause of Christ. Come on, begin to pray one for another. This is a moment of release. This is a moment where we have come to God and we put a command, a demand on the power of God to be released. Right now, come on, pray. Pray one for another. Jesus, do it. For your glory, Jesus. 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 Come on, Baba Kisha. I bless the one whose hand I hold, Jesus. God, let their home be united. Let their home be one. Let their home, oh God, come under your auspices. Jesus, Jesus, may we, oh God, leave a legacy of respect for authority, for forgiveness for one to another, and for a servant's heart. Jesus, now break those hands and lift them up to heaven and tell him, Lord, I'm amazed. Come on, tell him, I'm amazed. That's your Lord. Yes.
How you love me.
Come on, we are going to bless the Lord this morning.
Lord, I'm amazed.
Jesus, be amazed. by your love. Yes, Lord, we're amazed by you, Lord. Just wave in the presence of the Lord. How wide, how deep, oh Jesus.
How deep,
yes Lord, how great. Sing it now. How wide. Are you amazed by his love this morning? Come on.
Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. And how you love.
Well, one last time, lift up your voice, sing to the Lord. Lord, I'm amazed.
Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord,
I'm amazed, Jesus.
Lord, I'm amazed by you.
Come on, tell him.
Lord, I'm amazed by you.
How you. We thank the Lord for his love this morning. Come on, let's thank him for his love. Let's thank him for his kindness, for his forgiveness. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you can, right before we're dismissed, would you please put the one slide up there about Uganda, please? Right before we're dismissed. The slide from Uganda, if you could put that up on the screen, I'd love for them to see it one last time. Pray for us. We leave in just about 3 weeks, and there are the results. If God so leads you, help us, that'd be wonderful. And we believe in God for provision. Amen. Now, Lord, bless these who have come today. Heal the broken heart. Fill the hearts with joy and love. As fathers, Lord, may we make a fresh commitment to have a Bethel experience. Thank you, Lord, that dads here today are not condemned, but rather they're forgiven. I pray today, Father, from this day forward, we would live, oh God, with a man of integrity and character, that we would model a servanthood life, that we would be men who would offer forgiveness and a deep respect for authority. On these three, oh God, shall our lives of our children be built and our legacy be left. Jesus, we ask this now in your name. And everybody said, amen. And look, I tell you what we're going to do this morning. We got three sections. I think this will be good. You're the live right section. You're love everybody. And you're pray hard, okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to let you say it to me instead of me always saying it to you, okay? So, all right, you ready to go?
Live right.
See you next time. God bless you.